Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, let me grab the headphones. I'll get dialed into the studio. Get these dogs to shut up. Oh, goodness. I better close the window or the neighbors are going to get mad. Hope the guests call in tonight. I wonder if anybody's going to call in. Well, let's do this thing.
It's Rated G Radio, and this is your host, Garrett Miller.
Welcome to Rated G Radio. I'm sorry, I had a little bit of a pause here. I'm sitting here reading some comments off of Facebook, and I'm just like, what is this person saying? Anyway, I just posted a picture of Eric and I. Eric is here on an extended vacation visiting with me, and of course, he's my 5-pound chihuahua that has his own fan page, Eric the Mighty Chihuahua. If you want to go find him on Facebook, you can do that, and of course, like his page. He posts pictures of himself and his brothers and sisters, and also anytime there's an opportunity to help spread animal awareness issues, like these dogs need to be rescued, or this is going on, or that's going on. Anyhow, he loves interacting with his fans, does so on a regular basis. And if you want to, you know, chat with him, you can always send him a note, and he'll reply personally to you. And, of course, you know it's from him, Eric, the Mighty Chihuahua, when he signs his name, Love, Eric. So, with that, welcome to the show. Hope you guys had a great weekend, and we have just a crazy, crazy, crazy week. We're going to have Robert Rollins, Hollywood director, on the show with us tonight. He's going to be talking about his project called Lanterns for the Dead. He's been on the show before, but we're going to try to get an update from him on what is taking place in the world of Hollywood. We've also got updates on his current project, which is almost finished, called Dream Country, and then a web series called Arn and Ed that he is working on. So really excited for him to be on the show. Now he's sending me a note. Let's see, 323-657-1493 is the hotline. And pinging a couple of people who wanted to call in to make sure that they know. And we are good to go. So anyway, what did you do this weekend? Anything fun? I did tons and tons and tons and tons and stuff, so much so that I even missed a couple of things that I really, really wanted to do. But I will tell you, it was a great weekend. Started out with a Friday night dance party with Margot Ray on Friday night, and Margot, of course, let us play her brand new song, Colors, which is in the top 20 in adult contemporary charts. And let's see here. Well, Robert's saying he can't get into the show here. Let me give him the little link here. Let's see. Let's try this again, folks. Show now. So let's see. Anyway, so we're going to hope that everybody is able to hear us right now. And if we can't get in, then I will call him. So hold on. Let's do that. Robert says he's listening. Well, Robert, hello. Okay. Robert, let's do this. In the Facebook, send me the number for you, and we are going to call out to you. This will be a first for Rated G Radio to actually, like, pick up the phone and call. And we are going to do this right now. So we go, we play, if I had the Jeopardy theme music, I'd do it. It'd go like, ding, 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 ding. Do you hear it ringing? Oh, my gosh, just exciting.
Hi.
Robert, how are you?
Hello?
Hello, Robert. Can you hear me?
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
I can hear you.
Great. I can hear you. Okay. I feel like a Verizon commercial. Can you hear me now? Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. It seems like one thing's being said and then another person's being said on a delay.
I don't know. I guess just play it by ear. You sound like you're next door, so I'm going to think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so welcome back to the show. Thanks for being part of Rated G Radio again.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we are going to talk about all of the cool things that are going on in your world. By the way, I've never called out to have a guest be on the show tonight, so this is really cool to figure out that it was really that easy. So now I should be calling people all the time. That's what we'll do. We'll just call it like Friends Day Wednesday, and we'll start calling out to random numbers and just see who answers and like talk to them. Robert, I'm going to have you back for that. So it's okay, people. Garrett called me like this, and I was even supposed to be on the show, so, you know, hang out. Anyway, so Robert Rollins, everybody, he's a Hollywood director, and he's on the show tonight to talk about three key points. His project, which is almost finished, called Dream Country, his latest project called Lanterns for the Dead, and of course his web series, I think it's a cartoon, you're going to tell us more, but it's called Arn and Ed. So anyhow, tell us what's going on in your world. What's going on, Robert? I know it's been ages since I've seen you, so.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, what, yesterday?
Yesterday for lunch, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but the last time, you know, it's been probably a couple months since you and I actually talked on the radio, so
I know.
So I guess it could be light years.
It is light years. So catch everybody up. So for all of you who are just hearing about Robert for the first time, I met Robert last year, maybe it was earlier this year. The year has gone by so quickly. So I think it was earlier this year at the OC, stands for Orange County, OC Screenwriters Workshop or Conference in Orange County, of all places. And I said, you know, Robert, I'd love to have you on the show and talk about some of the things that you do as a filmmaker. And he says, okay, if you're going to twist my arm that hard, I guess I could do it. So we had him on to talk about some of the fun things that he's working on, and I just was, you know, feeling like we kind of have lost touch a little bit about the progress and updates, and I see your posts on Facebook, and it's all very exciting, and I'm like, we need to have you back on because people need to know about what's happening. So long and short, I begged Robert to go to lunch yesterday to talk about a bunch of projects that I'm working on, that he's working on, and I said, okay, let's get you back on. So everybody, Robert has graciously agreed to be on the show tonight. And Robert, tell us about yourself one more time, and then we want to get into the projects that you've been working on or have been so successful with.
I was born and raised in Orange County, California. Went to Newport Harbor High School, and then I went off to California Institute of the Arts. I was originally an animator at California Institute of the Arts doing traditional 2D animation. And as I was studying it, the traditional animation style was going out because of the success of the Pixar films. So I had always enjoyed doing things in film and video throughout high school and college, so I decided to change my métier from animation to film, and I went into directing, writing, and producing. For a period of time after college, I just was writing, and then when you're writing a lot of the times, even that industry shifted where Hollywood was not accepting speculative scripts. So I said, well, okay, how am I going to get myself out there? And one of my best friends, Joe, says, well, why don't you start directing again? And I started directing again a few years ago and created this movie that we're going to talk about a little bit tonight called Dream Country. So it's been kind of a growth and evolution as far as a filmmaker or as a storyteller or as an artist, whatever you want to label me as, but that's pretty much where it was. I have a wonderful affinity for hiking and going to traveling to the different national parks and everything else. It's something very special to me. And in fact, this past June, I just was up in Yosemite on a trip, and it was just quite marvelous.
Well, you've had, you know, quite the year. Besides the fact that you're a filmmaker and a writer and all the things that you do, you like many people in the world of entertainment, also have a regular full-time job. I won't ask you to get into all of the fun things that you do during your day job, but the fact is that in order to help support your creative vision and dream, you know, a lot of folks have to have a regular job. You have a spectacular regular job, by the way, so that's really awesome. But again, that's a topic for a different night, but that's also, you know, wears out on you creatively. And so when you had mentioned that you're going to be taking your vacation to Yosemite, I was like, oh, my gosh, that sounds great for you. And you're like, Gary, come along. And I'm like, it's not near a beach. There's no way it's going to happen. But you posted some really spectacular pictures of your trip. Can you share a little bit about what you did during the vacation and, you know, some of the hikes and how you came about some of the pictures?
I've been going – there was a period of time, about a 10-year period of time, that I hadn't gone to Yosemite. And this was an annual trip that my parents and I had gone on for most of my life. And in 2011, I had decided to go back up there. And I literally fell in love with the place. Yosemite is truly our crown jewel of our national park system. And thank goodness for John Muir, Galen Clark, Hutchings, and Olmsted, and Teddy Roosevelt, who decided to preserve these places. And we have to really give credit to President Abraham Lincoln about saving Yosemite. A lot of people don't know it. It was just a normal bit of piece of business. And in 1864, in the height of the Civil War, he signed the Yosemite Grant, preserving Yosemite Valley for future generations. And what's so interesting about that is that you have to understand the history. Unlike now, we think that we take national parks as granted, but back then, the social conscience was pretty much a European mentality that we just take the land and make it ours. So it was truly extraordinary to say that this this valley was saved and preserved and was the first part of conservation ever. It was as extraordinary as the Declaration of Independence.
So,
realized what it was at that time.
Oh, I was going to say, that was exactly the question I was going to ask. You know, do you think anybody had any type of a concept about what they were actually doing other than, you know, preserving this piece of land? And, they probably, 200 years ago, they had no clue what was going to take place, obviously. But what do you think some of the motivating factors for them were?
Well, we're fortunate enough that gold wasn't discovered on it. Otherwise, Yosemite Valley would have been strip mined, even if it was preserved as a land preserve and deeded to California, it would have been strip mined. It was so new 150 years ago. I mean, you can't really speculate on what they think, because most of the stuff that was land preservation at that time was usually someone that was rich, someone who was wealthy of aristocracy, but this is something that was saved for the people. So it was very different. And it was amazing that there wasn't a lot of fighting against it initially, and then eventually it grew with Yellowstone being first national park and so on. But that's a whole big separate subject that we can talk about at a different time. And they did a great documentary on it with the National Parks by Ken Burns. So if anybody's interested in knowing about the history of the national parks, that's something they should watch on Netflix or rent or buy on Amazon. It's phenomenal documentary about the national parks. And if you haven't been to Yosemite or any of our national park systems, go.
So what is it about Yosemite in particular? Because you have I know you like to go hiking and camping and all that other kind of stuff that I absolutely hate. Okay, I have a respect for you for enjoying that. And for anybody who loves to do that, I really think you're awesome, okay? But just please don't ask me to go out in the dirt. So what is it about Yosemite in particular, though, that really has caught your eye? Because, you know, your family's made this an annual trip. Your friends have made this an annual trip. People you've met have been going on a regular basis for years. What is the appeal here? And I mean, I see your picture, so I kind of know even before asking the question. But can you tell me what it really means to you when you go to the park and set up shop?
Well, it's funny. When I went back in 2011, I didn't know what I was expecting because it's been 10 years, and I had a different mindset when I was younger. It was about just doing the film career and everything else, and about that time I needed to have a trip. And it was funny, one of the episodes that I shot in 2011 in Dream Country, or the segments Magic Hourglass, which stars Arn and Ed, which goes into Lanterns for the Dead, I had shot out in O'Neill Regional Park, and it was very country and something about that. And I started falling in love with the outdoors again. Being outside, being away from people, being away from the city. And when I got up there, and as you come through that tunnel view, and it's this wonderful Wawona tunnel, and you come out there, and there's this marvelous little parking lot that you can look into the valley from the west. You just see this beautiful valley, this grand valley that is glacially cut. You're talking about something that's carved from ice. And it's spectacular, the grandeur there, and you see these waterfalls falling into this valley and then to the floor. There's something very spectacular about water. It can be very docile and clean flowing in a river, but once it goes off the cliff, it comes alive. It sprouts, it spurts. It's like seeing fireworks in some ways as it explodes as it goes off the cliff. And especially for me as a cinematic guy, I'm looking at this with an eye of, wow, this is alive. This is a movie in itself. And then discovering the adventures. For me, I cannot sit still. And that's even for a home. I have to be doing something, whether it's reading, watching a movie, working my projects. I have to be doing something. I'll sleep when I'm dead. But even though most people have seen Yosemite Valley, when I go on hikes, I'm discovering it for the first time for myself. Whether or not I may have explored it, 15, 20, 30 years ago, I don't remember a lot of it because there was that long period of time, but I'm also a much more avid hiker. To me, being out on a trail, especially alone, is relaxing. I'm going at my own pace.
I can stop. I can take pictures of different things and explore, or just sit there and look at the natural beauty, or find these old forgotten trails. Last year I did this hike called the Sierra Point Trail, 1 mile, literally straight up, strenuous, but it's not there anymore, so you're going over rocks and finding the old trail, and you're finally up to this one point, and you're seeing four waterfalls from this one point. And this is just above the John Muir Trail off Happy Isles, but it's not there anymore. They close it because of rock slides, but you're looking at Vernal and Nevada Falls, and you're seeing Illilouette Falls, you're seeing Yosemite Falls, but you're also seeing Glacier Point, and it's just wonderful when you can sit there, and if no one is there, you're by yourself. And I could take my pictures, and I... Quiet? Well, it's a different kind of a quiet, because there's still the nature of quiet, which is quiet in itself, and you just have yourself to be there at peace. And it's relaxing. You're actually a lot more feeling of secure and serenity by yourself in the wild than you are by yourself in the middle of the city.
Sure.
It's tranquil.
Yeah.
I took a nap, and the next thing I knew, this thunderstorm came in, and I woke up getting completely wet.
Wow.
And I went down the trail. But that was last year. This year, since 2011, I've been trying to get these permits to go hike Half Dome. And I've done all the hikes out of the valley and some, you know, up in the backcountry here or there in the past 4 years. Well, really 3 years. This is the fourth year since I've been back. And Half Dome is one of the most iconic landmarks in the park. It's this big stone dome. And it's literally cut in half. It's not something that had fallen off. It was glacially carved in half, which is fascinating of how the glaciers can form these things just by freezing in water and erosion. That's a 17-mile hike, round trip.
So is that like a multi-day hike then, or how does that work?
Well, the way I did, once I got the permits, it was June 10th. I got up at 4 o'clock. I got my buddy Ivan up out of his tent at 4 o'clock, and we were on the trail at 10 till 5. And it was
wow.
One-day hike up and back. Now, granted, we took 2.5 hours up on top of Half Dome, and you want to do that because you're seeing this spectacular view. And the elevation off the valley floor on the top of Half Dome is 4,800 feet, but the total elevation above sea level where we are here at Newport Beach or Huntington Beach is 8,843 feet. So what's cool about this is you're going off and exploring on these trails that are laid out and everything else, but you're starting to see things that not everybody sees, because not everybody wants to do these long hikes. Now, Half Dome is one of those rare hikes that people that go to the one time, they want to do it because it's the one hike, but it is the most strenuous hike and steepest hike anybody could ever do. But when you're going up there, you're starting to see things that you wouldn't normally see. You're starting to see the curvature of the earth because you're so high up.
Wow.
And
what is that like?
Awe-inspiring, humbling in a way that you realize you are so small on this pale blue dot in this solar system within this galaxy in this universe. And at the same time, it's awe-inspiring because for me, I've always wanted to be an explorer. If I could, I would be exploring the universe. I love to know what's out there. I don't want to be stuck to knowing just one thing. I don't want to know small. I want it big. I want to know what's out there. I want to find out what's out there. To me, that's exciting. And when you can see this and realize we are part of a greater whole, that's the awe-inspiring part, to see this, that we're all part of this world. We are not as significant as we think of ourselves. We are part of everything.
You're able to get some good pictures while you're up there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So one of them, I think, that you had blown up also.
Yes, I did. I have a 16 by 20, 25 print of it on a canvas, and that's me on the top of Half Dome out on the brow. Yeah, the way Half Dome is formed, they have like this little edge that peeks out over the flat face, and people go out on it and get their pictures taken, and they look down to the valley floor, which is 4,800 feet below.
So do you like being up that high?
Oh, I'm terrified of heights.
Oh, great.
Absolutely.
Even better then.
Terrified of
okay.
It. But, you know, there comes a point, you know, I thought I was going to be scared to death, to be honest with you, and I was nervous. It turned out I was just nervous. I thought I was going to be scared to death. I beat my friend Ivan, who took my picture out on that brow. And I don't know what got into me, but I was so excited and so relayed to be up there. And those cables, the cables go up the Half Dome decline. You're using mostly upper body strength to pull yourself up the cables. And you're going hand over hand, but you're going at an 85 to 90 degree angle just to get up to the top. And that's after hiking, you know, 5 to 6 miles just to get there. So it's, and that's also just going up. But just, like I said, it's worth it. So worth it to be able to see this world and to see it. There's a beauty there. Such an incredible beauty. I can't explain it. It's just, I have a love affair with the place.
How long were you able to stay?
11 days.
Oh, nice.
Which is actually longer than you're really allowed to.
How long are you supposed to be able to stay?
You could only have stay there, at least in the valley, 7 days. But I worked it out that, you know, that I have, you know, I ordered a line and somehow I got it between the campsites that I had, but I had it overextended by accident. I think it was a computer glitch. But I also had some of it up in the high country, too, so I wasn't always down the valley. So I was spending two days up in the high country. So,
did you have any issues with altitude sickness or anything like that? It's probably silly at 8,000 feet, but, you know, I thought I'd ask.
No, I had no problems, but I'm also acclimated to it since I've gone up there a lot. I mean, the thing that happens if you're hiking and you're doing it, you're going up from, you know, 4,800 feet, so you're getting winded because of the elevation change, and but it's not giving you any kind of headaches or anything else. But it makes you go slower because of the elevation change. We're used to here being at sea level or close to being sea level. But when you get up to a valley that's 3,000 to 4,000 feet, and then going up from that valley to even higher, that's a tough haul.
What do you do to get yourself acclimated? Or I mean, do you have to sleep in like a hyperbaric chamber, like Michael Jackson, or you know, how does that work?
No. It's just making sure that you're in decent enough shape. You ride a bike, you run. You want to make sure that your midsection is firm enough to be able to carry you. And even no matter how much you prepare, it's going to kick your ass. And it did kick my ass. My calves were sore for the rest of the trip. I mean, I would have liked to have done another 13 or 14-mile hike, but since that one was straight up, my calves were shot at that moment. But you can't prepare a lot. You can prepare to a certain degree, but you can't prepare for it all. I met a couple of people that did Mount Whitney, and they got elevation sickness and altitude sickness, and they came down. And they actually said Half Dome was tougher than Whitney,
wow.
Which surprised me because Whitney is 14,000 feet, which I will one day do. So it's interesting. But it's the adventure to be able to do it.
Love it. So you're telling me earlier that you filmed part of the sequences for Dream Country at Yosemite?
Yes. It was this last trip we actually did. Dream Country, we shot some B-roll and we did some pickup shots to add to the movie that are, this part of the movie of Dream Country are the introductory parts where Elias would come out and introduce each of the segments within the films, kind of like Rod Serling had done in The Twilight Zone. He would come out and introduce the episodes and give kind of a mysterious spin of what could happen, maybe a little misdirection, and then you finally come into it and you have this episode in the Twilight Zone, or in this case, a segment within the movie. So we were trying to get a lot of B-roll for the title sequence, which we're going to actually shoot that remainder of August 10th, and that's just mostly green screen using some of the actors, maybe, and then merging in the shots we shot there, and then also utilizing some of the B-roll to mix in with what we shot in November to give it a bigger space. Because the one thing that's great about Yosemite, and like where we shot some of the stuff here for the introductory mechanisms to the parts in Dream Country, is that you have this valley, and you have this scope when you're standing down the valley, and you have these large granite walls that just go up, and it's just this huge scope. It's magnificent, where a lot of times when you go to Idlewild, which is a beautiful place, it doesn't have that scale. It's not as large. It's beautiful, but it's not large where you can get a sense of wonder and scope. And that's what I wanted to bring more to Dream Country, was a sense of wonder. And that's what gets me with Yosemite, is there is a sense of wonder. Anything is possible in this world, in this realm.
So tell everybody, because correct me if I use the wrong terminology here, but you're almost done with Dream Country, and that is pretty much a wrap. And then the project that you're really trying to focus on next is called Lanterns for the Dead. So what's the premise as you are moving forward for Lanterns for the Dead, and what do you need to accomplish with that to get that going?
Well, right now the big hope is that with finishing Dream Country has 5 segments in it. Each one's between 20 to 10 minutes in length, and it should be around 90 minutes when it's done. One of the segments is the Magic Hourglass, and that stars the two characters, Arn and Ed. Now, those two characters continue on into Lanterns of the Dead. In some ways, Dream Country is the prequel to lead into the first narrative feature film. Now, the reason why I chose to do Dream Country originally was a lot of first-time filmmakers, let's use Sam Raimi or Peter Jackson, for example, when they try to do a feature film, it takes them 3 to 5 years to do it, and a lot of that has to do with cast not being available, financing not being available, camera equipment not being available, and it just takes a long time. And it's taken me 5 to 6 years to get to this point, to getting it done. Now, what I'm hoping to do, and this is really key and important to Lanterns of the Dead, is that I have some distributors interested in doing a negative pickup. And a negative pickup is as simple as, we like the movie, we're going to write you a check for the distribution rights. I myself would hold on to all the creative rights and the ownership of the film while they're able to distribute things either theatrically or television. Now, what I want to do with that is roll the money into Lanterns of the Dead, which would help fund that film. We have recently raised money for Lanterns of the Dead, a small portion of it, but it's a wonderful small portion that is helping us say, okay, we got the initial finance, a bit of the initial financing, and we can continue on to do it. For each of Lanterns of the Dead, we are selling one unit for $10,000 of the Lanterns of the Dead LLC, which is owned by Robert Rollins Pictures. We're the ultimate goal of how much the movie is going to cost to make is $950,000. So that's how much we're trying to raise, so each unit is $10,000 to get there. Lanterns of the Dead is basically two best friends, Arn and Ed, who encounter this witch who magically harvests the souls of her victims to remain forever young. Ed falls in love with this witch, and she's not able to really coax Arn, because Arn kind of sees through it, but she is really taking Ed to harvest his souls to be part of her collection to remain young, and it's the story that that will drive the two apart and then bring them back together to overcome this adversary.
And so what's going to happen next?
Right now we're trying to get talent signed. We're working on getting Claudia Black, who we've been talking to be play the part of the witch. So that's very important to get locked in, as well as Bruce Boxleitner, two very big names. And then the lead actor of Arn has also someone that could be connected with Teen Wolf that could go through. So that could be very important to help bring in investors. The important thing is getting the characters out there to not only just the public so they're aware of them, but also potential investors out there that could be interested in investing in this project so we can move ahead. I would like to shoot this film spring of next year. That is the goal. So investment should be locked in by the fall.
So explain this to me again, because I'm a little slow on how I understand this. So if somebody has $10,000 and they want to buy a unit of the Lanterns for the Dead, that's really cool. What type of investors are you looking for? Who should not be an investor? And I guess just I'll start there.
Anybody could essentially be an investor if you have $10,000. But $10,000 is a lot of money. Don't come invest if that's something you cannot lose. Investing in movies is a risk-reward. There's no guarantee of getting a return. So if this is something that is going to strain your pocketbook and will put you in debt, you're not the investor for this. And we wouldn't want you to do it because we wouldn't want to put you at risk. If you are someone that has money that would like to take the opportunity to invest in a second feature film of a startup company, those are the type of people. You don't have to be an accredited investor or anything special. You just can be a regular person, mom and pop, or someone who is a doctor or a lawyer or any or a financial advisor. Anybody who's along those lines wants to invest can invest, but I wouldn't recommend some college student or someone that is working at Barnes & Noble. It would not be safe for them, and I would not recommend that.
So you need to have some disposable income, and by disposable,
correct,
meaning, you know, this. So if $100 is a lot to you, let's just say, you know, you and I are not the people to be investing in Robert's film here, but if $10,000 sounds like a fun party weekend in Las Vegas, maybe this would be a good opportunity for you to do something that would be, you know, something lasting. So, you know, there's different degrees of the economies of scale here, so everybody has a different level of comfort. But, you know, if you've got that money, that might be kind of fun to talk to Robert about, especially if you've never done anything like that before. So, Robert, if they wanted to reach out and find out more, how would they contact you to have a discussion?
They could look at the Robert Rollins Pictures website, which is at www.robertrollinspictures.com.
How are you spelling your last name, just in case they're listening, because I know that there's Rollins like R-A-W-L, and I don't think that's you.
No, my last name is spelled R-O-L-L-I-N-S.
So it's Robert R-O-L-L-I-N-S. There we go.
And if you want to email me directly, you can email me at robert@robertrollinspictures.com. I look at that email every day. So if you want to communicate with me, I can get that to you. And if you want to look at a business plan, I could email you a PDF of the business plan, which covers the entire project, the risk rewards, what the budget is, and how we're going to go about doing it. So it's spelled out pretty clearly on what goes on and what your return on investment would be, whether it's a low, medium, or high. Now, mind you, when those are speculative numbers, but at least you would get an idea of what could happen.
Now, one thing this is not like a global funding or a Kickstarter campaign where you're going to get a free T-shirt and maybe a signed poster and a PDF of the finalized script or things like that. This is an actual business proposition, so this is not where you're going to be getting movie memorabilia. I'm sure Robert could throw in a poster, but it's not like that's going to be like the big gimme here is that you're getting a poster, a signed poster from the actors or a copy of the script or something like that. This is a business investment, so you know, just keep that in mind as you're going through there. So we talked a little bit about Lanterns for the Dead, which is all very cool, but the third thing that I wanted you to go into a little bit more detail and tell the listeners from a character standpoint who they are also, but it's Arn and Ed, because these are kind of like, and forgive me for saying this, like the Beavis and Butthead or the Laurel and Hardy or the, you know, it's any of the Bob Hope and who's the singer?
Bob Hope, Abbott and Costello.
All the great pairs of history in movies.
Life of the Dead is essentially a supernatural buddy movie. That is unusual because we've seen buddy movies and they've been historically viable since Tom Sawyer. And you had Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn. That was essentially the first buddy story.
Sure.
And then when it came into movies, you had Laurel and Hardy, Abbott and Costello, Bob Hope and Bing Crosby, Abner and, oh God, what's that? I can't remember. I'm not as familiar with radio, but as you went on, but it was usually two white males. And then as we got into the 80s, we saw 48 Hours with Nick Nolte and Eddie Murphy, and then Lethal Weapon with Danny Glover. And right. So the buddy movie is a valuable thing, and they usually have it for different mixed genres, but this one we're doing it as a buddy movie in a supernatural context, so that's new. One of the ways that we're trying to introduce audiences to Arnett, not only just with Dream Country and the Magic Hourglass segment, is that we've launched Arnett web comics, and they're serial. Initially, for right now, they are being released once a month. We would like to do it more regularly, twice a month, but with everything going on with Lanterns of the Dead, and as this is something I'm writing and sometimes drawing, along with EJ, my story artist, is taking away from it. So we're trying to space them out over a monthly period. Eventually, we're going to be going into bi-weekly and then hopefully more regularly. But we want to introduce characters introduce the audiences to these characters and their adventures through webcomics on the Robert Rollins Pictures website. So this gives the people an opportunity to see what they're going to be seeing on the big screen.
I love that. So what type of a time investment does it take? Because I know that, I mean, I can't even imagine, you know, drawing like a regular comic book from, you know, like when I was a kid. So what is it, how long is kind of like one of your webisodes, if I can use that term, on your website for Arnett? How long of a show is it? What do they go through in a typical episode, or at least what's the plan?
Well, they're really five pages individually, like a comic book. You look at it, we're releasing just one page a month, and it's kind of like a cliffhanger. You read that page, and you get a little bit of what's going on, and then you go into the next one. It's not like you're seeing an episode. You're reading a comic book that's illustrated. And for me to draw, it can take me a couple of days to draw because my skills of drawing, I don't keep up on as much as I used to. So it takes me a lot longer. There's a discipline. You can always do it faster if you're constantly doing it, but my discipline for that is not as fast as I would like it to be or back when I was doing animation. So it takes me a number of days to do a page where EJ is able to turn out a page one a day if he has the ability to do it. And that's inking. That's drawing and inking.
Wow.
So that's what it takes. So it's a lot, especially since we're storyboarding Lanterns of the Dead at the same time that we're drawing these.
I was going to say, it just sounds like a lot is on the plate. But when you're releasing like one page a month, I think that's cool. How many frames are on a page?
It varies. I have one that's coming up that has 14 panels on one page.
Wow. So you're getting quite a bit of content on that.
Yeah. And that's just a standalone story. That's just a gag story where the story ones could have 6 to 8 panels, or as little as 5 sometimes, but that's continuing a story over 5 to 6 pages, and then a new story begins. We have one story that's coming up that should probably be our longest story. It clocks in about right now at 60 pages, so that's going to be a real, and that's part of the reason why we're delaying the biweekly release until that's done, because we want to start releasing that as one block so people can read it through without having to wait too long for the next chapter, because I don't want people to forget about it. So that one will probably be released once a week or something like that, because it's such a big story and really has a driving thrust that will influence other stories in Art and Ed.
How do you use social media, or how do you advertise your projects like this? How are people finding out about you?
I email out I do an email blast through all my friends and family, and I hope that they do the same. I have my own Facebook, and I post all the time on what I'm doing just so people are, I'm sure a lot of my friends are tired of hearing about me. I also have a Lanterns of the Dead Facebook page, as well as a Dream Country Facebook page, and a Robert Rollins Pictures group. So I'm continuously posting throughout those. I also have opened up a Twitter, so I post on there. And that's pretty much it. And I try to drive everything to the RRP website.
I love it. So what kind of what are people saying? Because I know that you get a lot of interaction from the, you know, that your if I call them fans, I don't know if that's the right word to use, but for lack of a better word, for your fans and people of, you know, Dream Country and who are really excited about Lanterns for the Dead, what are people saying about your work right now?
It's positive, which is nice. There hasn't been too much criticism. Usually the criticism is more helpful criticism. Let's say if I have the music up a little bit high, you know, so they can't hear the dialogue, I just go in there and say, oh, I can do that, and I pull it down in certain areas. It's usually very helpful criticism. I haven't heard anything that's negative. As long as they hear the story and be entertained, the Magic Hourglass segment of the Dream Country is the main story that's been released to the public and has been in several festivals and has also won a couple of awards. That is probably the most popular, and because I've been told that it moves like a Star Wars movie. It goes very quickly. You're engaged in it. And a lot of times the comment is, it ended. Why did it end? That was only about 10 minutes. No, it was 20 minutes. I think so. If they're into it, and their only thing that a 20-minute movie is a 10-minute movie, and they want more, then I'm doing my job, and they're entertained. And that's the positive thing. The complaint is more of, I want more, not there's less, or they didn't like it. So that's very helpful, and that's encouraging.
So from a creative standpoint, this kind of, I probably should have asked this like 10 questions ago. You know, what gives you inspiration? Where do you find your source for material? And it's not that, oh, I just saw an episode of this, or I watched this movie, and I'm going to write my own. You know, where did the ideas originate from with you?
They come from all over the place. I like to be very well watched. I'm not as well read as I would like to be. The person who has two people have a profound, well, more than two people, the people that have profound influences on me as a storyteller are Ray Bradbury, one of our greatest American writers next to Mark Twain. And there again, there's someone else that has influenced me. J. Michael Straczynski, the writer-producer of Babylon 5, Rod Serling of The Twilight Zone, Steven Spielberg, John Ford, who's a director of the John Wayne movies, or Henry Fonda films. You have Howard Hawks, Michael Curtiz, George Lucas. These are the people that influence me, or the things that influence me. James Bond, Ian Fleming. These things are the things that inspire me and want me to tell stories. I think that's missing in a lot of times in movies, and this goes back to even our talk about Yosemite, where I think is missing is that when you see things, you don't get that sense of wonder anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's missing. I mean, when you look at early Spielberg films, you get that sense of wonder, or even George Lucas films. It's quite marvelous when you could say, you're so involved in the story, it's there, and you're dreaming. And you're dreaming of more stories after you walk out of the theater. You want to see more Indiana Jones. And those Indiana Jones stories are continuing as you leave that theater. Or if you're watching a John Wayne movie, those characters are continuing in some regard. They stick with you. And you want to be part of it, or it inspires you to do something in the real world. And that's what the best storytelling does, is inspire us to make us be better than ourselves. And it also questions some things.
I think that's what you're doing with us today. And I can't wait to see Dream Country, because I know you've got a ton of it done, so I haven't even seen like a rough cut of this. And I just, from our private conversations, I think this is going to be absolutely fantastic. So, Robert, one last time, do you want to give a plug to any particular people, websites, social media, things like that, before I let you go?
You can find us, Lanterns for the Dead, on Facebook. Please come to the page and like it. We are constantly giving you updates on Dream Country through there, so you can know when that's going to be released in theaters. There's also a Dream Country Facebook page, and on these we will be releasing the links for the Lanterns of the Dead, I'm sorry, the RNA webcomics, and you'll find out updates on how we're doing as far as our fundraising process for Lanterns of the Dead. You can contact me again at Robert at RobertRollinsPictures.com. Rollins spelled R-O-L-L-I-N-S, and the website is www.RobertRollinsPictures.com.
Cool.
I very much hope that you all can come along and watch the adventure as we put these films together, and I hope you will enjoy them as much as I've been enjoying making them.
I think we will. Robert, before I let you go, somebody's dialed in, and they want to ask a question. Do you want to take a listener call?
Sure.
Cool. Okay. 714, you're on the air with Robert Rollins, Hollywood director. What do you want to say to him?
Hi, Robert. It's me, Danny, former America's Got Talent contestant, your friend. Remember me?
Yes. How are you?
Yes, I'm doing well. I just want to say that Robert's movie, it's really amazing, and we can't wait for it to hit theaters. And everybody go support him. He's amazing, brilliant director. And that's all I wanted to say. Thanks.
Well, thank you,
thank
Danny.
Thank you so much, Danny.
Okay.
Thank you. That's very flattering. Thank you so much.
Robert, there we go. What a great testimonial to have right before we end the segment. And we're going to be playing Margot Ray's Colors, top 20 adult contemporary hit right now on the charts, as the cool kids say. And we'll be back right after that. Robert, stay on the line.
I close my eyes and tell myself when I feel judged by someone else that love, love, love begins with me. Dig in deep and must reveal a secret for my heart to heal. No lies, 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 or make believe. But my stones and sticks, I pitch them away and get in the way of myself again. And then I say, I am not afraid. I know how to be brave, 'cause in the best and worst of days, my colors never fade. Bitter words can't stain, wash out or strip away, 'cause in a million shades of gray, my colors never fade. Unravels me in all directions, and it's hard, 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 so hard to breathe. Can't pave my road with good intentions, frightened by my own inventions. Oh, when will I believe? So brick by brick, I lay it there and paint up my face. I know how to
Song Colors is now being played on Adult Contemporary. That's AC Charts. It's number 20 in the Billboard Top 20 charts. As we speak, she was my guest on the Friday Night Dance Party. If you want to hear more of her music, simply go back to the Margot Ray Show. Friday, that was the 18th, if I'm looking at the calendar correctly. Super thrilled to have Robert Rollins on the show tonight. I know he's got a lot of time commitments that he's got for all of his projects that he's got going on. So for him to take time out of his schedule to call into the show tonight, always am greatly appreciative of that. And again, RobertRollinsPictures.com. Go check him out. Go check out Lanterns for the Dead on Facebook. Like it so you can stay informed. A big shout out to my listener, Nancy, in Utah today. She posted a picture on my Facebook of her going to her dad's retirement dinner. He was the auditor of passenger receipts for the New York, New Hampshire, and Hartford Railroad for 50 years. He even spoke before Congress. And Nancy posted that picture. Earlier today, I posted a picture of me looking like a big old goof, standing next to my dad in a suit and tie, sport coat and tie. I think my dad only had sport coats. I don't think he really had a suit. He might have had one suit, but he was a sport coat and slacks kind of guy. He was getting a service award for Employee of the Year in some capacity. He told me, because he had to correct me, because I put it down, he was getting the Department of Human Resources, Director of the Year award or something like that. And he corrected me after the fact recently and says, no, it wasn't for that. But, you know, and he was, like, very, very concerned that I got the statistical information wrong. It's like, everybody that would have been around then is dead. Well, one more today has passed away, and that's the late Governor Vic Atiyia in Oregon. I had the pleasure of meeting him on actually a couple of occasions. But the picture with my dad, I really wish I didn't look like such a gomer in the picture, but I didn't think the photographer was getting ready to snap the picture. They snapped it, and then they said, okay, you're done. And I'm like, holy cow, I look like a big goof. But the picture was already taken. I couldn't go back and say, can we do another one? I know it's the Governor of Oregon and all, and my dad is one of several people getting an award today, but I think I don't look quite that great in the picture. My dad looks like $1 million. He looks great. Governor Vic Atiyia looks great as well. So, but again, thanks to Nancy for posting a picture of her dad. You know, that's something that's quite honorable. Man holds a job for 50 years and speaks before Congress. What a great thing for you to do for your dad. So earlier today, I posted a picture because I was going to go sailing, and sailing for me is something I've never done. I've been on like a water ski boat and, you know, booze cruises and things like that, but not a sailboat. And so my music producer, Brian, and his girlfriend, Carolee, said, you know, let's go sailing because we've got this boat. And I said, okay, that's great. So I head on down to Long Beach where the boat's at and am trying to get ready to, you know, go on my sailing adventure. They told me what dock to go to, so I made it to the dock. I was a few minutes early, so I went and just sitting down at the end of the dock, took a great picture, and I said, words don't do this justice. It really doesn't, because it's just absolutely beautiful there today. Could have sat there for hours and been perfectly content. So then all of a sudden I get a message from Carolee, and she goes, where are you? I don't see you. And I'm like, I'm at the dock you told me to go to. Well, I was clear at the end of the dock. She was at the beginning of the dock, and long story short, went and met her. So we're going to go sailing out in the Long Beach Harbor or on the Pacific Ocean or do something like that, head towards Catalina, and you know, I'm all excited. Carolee's excited. They've got their friend Victoria who's excited. And then Brian shows up, and Brian's excited. And then Carolee says, what is this? And I said, I don't know. Well, we look over, and there's this huge, massive gash in the boat. Apparently the gash was not there yesterday. But long story short, the owners of the boat had taken the boat out, and another boat had crashed into them and caused substantial damage. But the worst part is that their father, who is in his 80s, got hit by the boat anchor and had to be, you know, like EMT'd out of there as soon as they were able to get back to shore. So sending lots of prayers and well wishes to the owner's family of the boat, but we did not go out on the boat today when it was all said and done. So, Nancy, I would like to tell you that I did not make it out into the water. I did step onto the boat, but that was before we figured out that it was all going to be crashed up. So instead, we went over to Victoria's condo in Signal Hill, and Brian barbecued steak and chicken, and then there was three or four different kinds of kale and watermelon salad and a red cabbage coleslaw and a delicious salad that Victoria made. And anyhow, I wasn't planning on eating because I typically eat my one big meal of the day for dinner, but I did enjoy some of everything, and it was absolutely quite delicious. So my big thanks go out to Brian and Carol Lee and Victoria for hosting me today. And hopefully that gentleman that got injured in the boat wreck will be doing well sooner than later. The prognosis was not good. I mean, it ended up being kind of serious. So well wishes for them. As we get ready to wrap up tonight's program, I want to send a big thanks again to Robert Rollins for being on the show. Tomorrow night, if you are not a regular listener to Rated G Radio, I'm going to ask that you tune in once again two nights in a row. Make it a habit. 21 days to form a habit, one day to break it. So tomorrow is a great day, too, for you. TV actress, comedian, author, motivating speaker, workshop administrator, director. I'm trying to think of every cool word I can possibly use, but it's going to be for Ms. Suzanne Wong, who will be my guest co-host for Rated G Radio since starting the show over in this format at the beginning of 2013, so a year and a half ago. I've not had a guest co-host. I've not had a co-host. So we are going to be doing the show tomorrow, and so we're just kind of figuring things out as we go along. We're going to have a fun hour, and tomorrow I will tell you, it's going to be secret night. So if you have a secret that you've been dying to tell us, or tell somebody, but here's the deal. If you call in, I won't announce your area code. If I know who you are, I won't announce your name. I won't talk about you before, during, or after the call. But if you have a deep, dark secret that you want to tell tomorrow night will be the night, because Suzanne is taking your secrets live 10 p.m. East, 7 West on Rated G Radio. I cannot wait to have this crazy lady on the show. Not only, well, there are a number of reasons why I'm thrilled to have her on as a guest co-host. I'm really honored because she is somebody of, notable talent and skill, but she is really a good person down in her heart. You know, one of those people that you just meet and you're like, you're good people. I like you. We're going to get along great and be friends. But she's a perfectionist, professional, and awfully pretty. She's a triple P. She's the triple P, so maybe that's what we'll call her tomorrow night. Professional, perfect, and pretty. So that's going to be the show. Round out the show with the song called Home by my friend Patrick Allen Casey, who was recently on the show. I think we're going to go have lunch this Saturday. He gets back. He was on a tour of the elusive Midwest over the weekend for a big album release party. He was on the Friday Night Dance Party 2 weeks ago, and his song Home is quickly going up the iTunes chart, so check him out on iTunes, and it's Patrick Allen Casey with Home. We'll see you live on Tuesday night with Suzanne Wong. Tune in.
It feels like home.
You've been listening to
Rated G Radio.